But at the end of the day, our ultimate goal is to prepare our student athletes to be the best individuals that they can be in this game of life.
Hello and welcome to the Daktronics Experience Podcast. I'm Justin Oxner here with Matt Anderson. Today we're joined by Phil Risen. He's the Associate Executive Director of the NIAAA. He's going to share the organization's goals, details of their upcoming national conference, how things have changed due to COVID-19, and more. And we're here today with Phil. Phil, how you doing?
Great. Doing awesome.
All right, I'm doing good over here. Matt, you doing all right over there?
I'm doing good over here, Justin.
Make sure he's ready to go all the time. Phil, could you start by giving us what Matt would say is your origin story and tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got to the role that you're in today with the NIAAA?
Well, I would, absolutely. And thank you for having me on. I look forward to our conversation today. And I'm a product of public education, primarily a retired educator of 30 years. Was a teacher coach primarily for the first 9 years of my career. And then at that point, administration seemed to take the route, took over as an athletic administrator and an assistant principal and served in that dual role capacity for 11 years. And then the last 9 years of my 30-year career in public education, I served as assistant superintendent over, as I like to refer to it, the four B's: beans, balls, buses, and buildings. And primarily was over that for my last 9 years of public education, retired. And during my retirement, I accepted the position as the executive director for the Kentucky High School Athletic Directors Association. So my origin, I'm a bluegrass boy, born and raised around Central Kentucky. Predominantly, I'm Big Blue all the way, Big Blue Nation. And retirement there, took the position with the Kentucky High School Athletic Directors Association and served in that capacity for 18 months. And kind of thought I was going to play a lot of golf and just kind of enjoy life and relax. And I'd had the honor and privilege to serve on the NIAAA's board of directors. And prior to that, I'd been a national faculty instructor with the NIAAA. And so while serving on the board, I was fortunate enough to be selected as our president, served in that capacity. And so when Bruce Whitehead retired and the board elevated Mike Blackburn to the executive director position, at that point, the associate executive director's position became available. And I applied and made application. Really, I learned at an early age, never say never, but I really never thought I would live in Indiana. But here we are, my wife and I, 5 years in. And we've been here. I just started my fifth year with the NIAAA as the associate executive director. And I'm fortunate to be here. I'm fortunate to serve in what I feel like is one of the greatest volunteer associations in the nation. And look forward to serving our high school and middle school athletic directors on a daily basis.
Wow, that is quite the track record, Phil, too. And I got some other questions I'll probably get to later that popped into my head from listening to you. But could you maybe give our listeners an overview of the NIAAA and kind of what does that organization do?
Yeah, the first thing people ask whenever they say, I know when I accepted the position, my friends would say, NIAAA, what do y'all do? What is that? And the first thing you have to make sure you clarify is the acronym, National Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association. We refer to it as NIAAA for short, and that seems to save us a little bit of breath as we try to promote our association. But predominantly, Matt, Justin, we are what you would consider the teaching and learning component for high school and middle school athletic administrators. Always we will refer to as interscholastic. The term you will always hear is education-based. Okay. And so, our mission is to kind of enhance and promote education-based athletics through teaching and learning, through professional development. And so with that, we have a curriculum. We have a curriculum that our high school and middle school athletic administrators can take. We have over 52 courses. Mm-hmm. We also now have just branched into international, so we have international courses. And part of that process is we have certification. We are an accredited body, meaning predominantly we're accredited through Cognia, which is the old Advanced Ed, Measured Progress. As they combine, they change the name to Cognia. So we're no different than any other educational institution in the sense that we go through the same accrediting process of confirming our curriculum, confirming our programs as any other educational institution would. And with that, we offer what's called a national certification program to where high school and middle school athletic directors can become certified and referred to as a CAA, which would be a certified athletic administrator, or a CMAA, which is a certified master athletic administrator. And we also have some entry-level certification positions. And just recently, we've been working the last 5-6 years with an international body, and we just recently offered, and we'll be offering in December, our first international certification exam, and it will be referred to as the CIAA, which is a Certified Interscholastic International Administrator. And so we're excited about that. We're constantly going through revision with our components of our curriculum. But in the short, if you ask what we do, we are that branch of teaching and learning, trying to provide quality programs, trying to support our athletic administrators, and making sure that we're providing the best athletic opportunities for our student athletes. And that's pretty much sums it up at the end of the day.
Well, yeah, that's a lot. You said over 52 different courses. Is there any kind of, I'm trying to think, either like subjects or main kind of overview categories that these courses fall in? Kind of what are all the different, I guess, topics maybe that are taught?
Well, great question. Number one, we have our foundational courses, which would be primarily our core courses, and they would be related to, we have four legal courses. So they would be courses related to legal management. They would be foundational and philosophy courses primarily that kind of, you know, ingrain the athletic administrator in a sound philosophy of education-based athletics. So we have our core courses, and then, you know, we have our operational management courses, courses that could be related to field management, could be related to physical plant management, could be related to sports medicine programs, fundraising, those type of things, which would be operational and management. We have strength and conditioning, mental health and wellness, which is one of our newest courses we're really excited about of the student athlete. We have courses related to event and game management. And then, you know, in this day and time, we have 630, which is our planning and preparing methods of contest management and the things that an athletic administrator. And then when you get into our 700 level courses, you're kind of getting into, you know, leadership courses that would be related to current issues or dealing with challenging people, or predominantly coaching coaches to be leaders. And we offer all of these 52 courses. And then, as I said, we just started in the last 5 years our international course curriculum. And so those core courses are kind of foundational courses. And then there's some risk management legal courses in the international scope. And so those are our 52 courses that we offer. There's a wide range of curriculum that can enhance and assist the athletic administrator with their job that they do on a daily basis.
Wow, that's pretty complex. There's a lot there that you guys are offering. And I'm just going to kind of lead right into the bigger topic that we were looking at today with this. It must be a little bit challenging possibly during this time of COVID and all the pandemic things going on and possibly not having some sports and live events. Is it a different challenge for people that are trying to get those accreditations or are trying to go through your courses at this time while not having live sports going on?
Well, you know, you're right. And then let's think about it from the athletic administrator standpoint. On March 13th, we kind of all took a step back. You know, here we are, we're getting ready for, at least I am, for March Madness, one of my favorite times of the year. And I'm thinking about my picks, and I'm thinking about what I want to, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, they start canceling conference tournaments, and next thing you know, that snowball just keeps rolling. Mm-hmm. And so us as an association, we're thinking, okay, because that is a really busy time for us. Mike and I are traveling to the different sections within our geographic locations within our country to visit state conferences, to attend state, to attend sectional meetings. And all of a sudden that's shut down. And so, really proud of our staff and what we were able to accomplish in that, because not only are we kind of bogged down a little bit, but also is the athletic administrator who is maybe preparing to conclude their winter sports and to get ready for the spring. And now all of a sudden, boom, it just stops. And so at that point, what we put together as a staff is we put together a series of our leadership training courses that we could offer to our athletic administrators via webinar. And then we also put together over 30 workshops that were available for our athletic directors, available free, and they could take those workshops to get. And what we have found is that they had some downtime, so our participation levels were really great. They weren't bogged down with having to prepare for maybe another event or worry about a rain out or a snow out or whatever it may be. And so they engaged and embraced primarily professional development. And so for us, we went through a period there from about April the 1st until the end of May to where daily we were offering professional development, and daily our athletic administrators across the country were taking it.
That's awesome. That's a great service to be helping them out. And then maybe after you mentioned, you know, did that from, I think you said through May, did you kind of transition then as you're getting closer to the school year? I got to imagine though also too, it varies from state to state how you would handle this though, right?
Well, it does. And understand, as a national program, and understand we have 50 state association, athletic director associations primarily that we have that we work with their executive directors within their state. And so some of them, following the model maybe that we had present, even offered some additional opportunities for athletic directors in their state. And so it kind of worked as the I want to be honest. You know, sometimes the greatest thing about honesty is that I got to tell you, when we started it, we didn't know what we would get. We didn't know if there would be interest. We didn't know if everyone would be dejected and say, I don't want to, I don't want to think about that. But what we were so excited about is that the fact that we saw the strength of our association is networking. And what we have seen is the networking that has taken place among all of the colleagues in the state, outside the state. And the thing about it is the great thing about our national conference we always enjoyed and we continue to enjoy is I get to see friends that maybe I haven't seen for a year, but it's like we never went away. Mm-hmm. And because we share a bond of serving the student athletes, of serving the coaches, to make sure that we're providing opportunities for our students. And that's a great thing. And so for us, it was a positive. We were excited about it. Our states embraced it and kind of carried it forward. Why we stopped in primarily at the end of May, guys, was as a simple fact, we wanted to give a little bit of downtime during the summer for that mental health component, for them to maybe have some time, because we knew that whenever we did start gearing back up, the intensity of their plate was going to be so large that they weren't going to have time to do anything else.
Absolutely. And I'm thinking it's even, and this makes sense now that you say it, right? Each state has its own association. So you have 50 different associations you got to kind of work with, Phil. I'm just going to, how do you, I mean, maybe it's through these group webinars you've been doing, but when you don't have the conferences, you're going virtual right now, maybe talk about the importance of, you still have to stay in contact with all 50 different associations. And how do you do that?
Well, again, when you look at that leadership structure, each state has either an NIAAA liaison or they have an executive director. Some serve in both capacities. And so we communicate with them through them. Each state also has a state coordinator who works within the professional development arm within their state. Each state will also have their own state faculty that has been certified and trained in order to be able to teach courses within their state. At the end of the day, and this is the educator in me, online learning is great. Mm-hmm. It is, but it's not the best.
No.
The best type of learning is the physical learning where relationships can be developed, to where networking can take place, and to the point to where I'm physically engaged with an instructor and with my colleagues within that class. Now, let's be honest, during this time, what I think our states have done, what our athletic directors have done, they've been able to take lemons and make lemonade.
Yep.
And so, you know, we've used the Zoom platform, we've used Microsoft, we've used Google, whatever it takes. There's just been a collegial approach to networking within our athletic directors. And the great thing about athletic administrators, they share ideas. It's not that, you know, well, I'm going to hang on to this, because they share ideas and they want their colleagues to be able to be aware of ideas, new, old, or whatever, that may be working to assist them in making sure we're putting forth the best programs available for our students.
Mm-hmm. And I want to say, like, it seems like you took the pandemic and you looked at it and said, okay, let's turn this negative thing into a positive. And you tried to capitalize where you could and offering those professional development opportunities for everyone during that time. And then you said you gave them the summer off a little bit. You slowed down a bit. Now that the fall is coming and sports are possibly coming back, how have things changed for you going forward?
Well, you know, we've moved forward. We traditionally host in September a state coordinators meeting, which is primarily, as I was sharing earlier, is representation from each state, their state coordinators. Some will have one, some will have two, some might have as many as three, depending on the size and geographic location of their state and what they have to cover. But we traditionally have always brought them into Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. And we would host a 2.5-day training session for them to be able to be brought up to speed with new courses, revisions that have been made to existing courses and everything like that. This year, we couldn't do that. We did it online. And quite frankly, we were just tickled to death. Traditionally, we would average about anywhere between a 90 to 100 attendees. This year we had 98 in a 2-day virtual training, and we were excited about that. Currently, right now, we have our fall webinar series, which are taking place. As we're speaking right now, we have one of our international courses that is being taught via webinar with two of our international instructors. And so we're trying to proceed as forward. Right now, the big thing on our calendar is in preparation for our national conference. As you all know, we were planning to have our physical 51st National Athletic Directors Conference that we co-host with the National Federation of High Schools. We were planning on hosting that in Tampa. Unfortunately, we're not going to be able to do that, just for the simple fact it's not what's best for our members at this time. And so we will be hosting a virtual conference. And so Mike and I and the staff, along with members of the National Federation staff, have been working diligently in the last two to three weeks, seriously trying to plan what that looks like, how we go about doing that, and how we communicate that message moving forward of education-based athletics.
And you mentioned too, you know, it is something this year too with virtual events too, is that I wouldn't say it's good timing, but the technology is there, because you can have a lot more engaging type of virtual event rather than, Zoom calls are great, and that's great, I think, still for getting everyone together. But maybe like as a conference now, and you're having an actual, you know, a bigger one going on, you can actually do a lot more things with that, correct?
Absolutely, we can, and we are going to. We're still going to have our opening and closing general session. We have lined up for our opening session. Coach Tony Dungy will be our general session speaker. Our closing speaker will be Derek Brooks. So you're looking at listening to two of the most humble individuals that just absolutely parlay and model what education-based athletics is about, and just their life and their message and how they carry and conduct themselves. And so we're excited about that. We're still going to have our sports law year in review with Dr. Lee Green. He will be doing that. And then we're also having a TICSA, which is Association of Title IX Coordinators, will be presenting a session on Title IX updates for our athletic directors. Along with that, we're going to have 36 workshops. We're going to have a vendor hall. We will be doing a virtual vendor hall with all of our vendors. And then at that point, we'll continue to have our networking sessions of talking and trading and give and take and whatever. So we're trying to make the conference as just like you were actually there. The difference is going to be that is if you miss a session, if you were to miss a workshop, it'll be kind of like you've DVR'd it, and you will have the opportunity, if you register for the conference, to go back and watch all 36 of the workshops.
Oh, wow.
To be a part of the whole conference. So, you know, annually, guys, we've been averaging about 2,000 plus for a physical conference.
Wow.
We're anticipating and we're hoping that this year, because of the fact that we've eliminated the travel, we've eliminated the accommodations, we've eliminated all that, you can take all of this within your own home or your own office. We're hoping to have 3,000 that maybe want to be a part of a virtual conference and have the opportunity to network and learn within their colleagues within the NIAAA.
And can we just clarify really quick, when is the conference and how can people register?
Sure. Well, we have not opened registration yet because as we've been selecting a vendor to assist us with running this conference and putting on a virtual conference, the actual conference will be December the 11th through the 14th, but it technically will start on December the 7th as we will offer all of our leadership training courses on that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So we will be offering 12 sessions of a leadership training course. So conceivably, as an athletic administrator, I could go through our curriculum and take four courses. I could take a course a day for those 4 days, and each course lasts anywhere between 4 hours to 3 hours, depending on the course. And then on Friday, December the 11th, we will start the actual conference per se at 2:00 Eastern Standard Time. And we will have a kind of an attendee orientation. Then we'll open up with a workshop. Then we go into a networking session, and then we have an educational sports facility seminar. And then after that, we go into the opening general session with Coach Dungy and some our scholarship applicants presenting, reading their essay. That was their winning essay as our national scholars. And so that will be kind of the first day. We get into day two, which would be on the 12th. We have a couple of workshop sessions. We've got, I forgot to mention, the vendor hall, which will be open on that first day. And so it's basically what we've done in the past, but it's in a virtual format. And the hard thing for us to think about is we're going to offer the sessions. And the great thing about it is the attendees can come if they want to, but if they've registered, again, they could wait till Christmas break or Christmas holidays or whatever and be able to take in all 36 of the workshops if they wanted to or attend any of those sessions. But we want them to be there. We want it to be as live as much as possible, but it also does offer another opportunity that we've never provided before.
And I love that because I had written that down already when you mentioned the DVR analogy. And that's something, I mean, I've attended quite a few conferences in the past, not NIAAA, but when there's a lot of different sessions going on, sometimes you can only pick to go to that one at the time, right? So I love the idea that you're talking about too, of being able to have them on demand so you can go back and maybe watch another one that was going on at the same time as another one, so you don't have to do this debating which one to pick over the other.
Sure. Absolutely. And the imperative thing is that here's the opportunity, you know, I'm going to sound like an old business teacher here a little bit, but there's an opportunity cost. The pandemic has created that opportunity cost in the sense that we didn't get to experience some things, but it's also created an opportunity to the point for us to be able to do some things or try some things that maybe we've never tried before. And what we're doing here is we're hoping that our members will be able to experience this virtual conference, and then they're going to say, you know what? Next year in 2021, I'm going to Denver because I want to be a part of that conference. I want to see what that's all about. And that's our goal in the end. In the end, our real goal is we have training and professional development, and we want to get it to our athletic administrators so they can be the better equipped to serve the students and the coaches they do on a daily basis.
And I'm thinking about how important that is even – you know, year after year, because we've already talked about the 52 different courses, all the different certifications that you guys help out with. And just knowing that, I mean, this year, probably more of an exception, but things change from year to year, right? So it's not like you take one of those courses or get one of those certifications and you never have to touch on that subject again, right? So staying engaged with your association year after year helps them stay on top of things like that.
Well, and if you're going to be good at any craft, and I don't know about you, but I'm of the age where doctors are important to me. So I'm just going to tell you, I always ask my doctors, I want to know, did you compete in athletics? Because, you know, here's the way I look at it. I want somebody that wants to compete. Mm-hmm. And their job is to compete to keep me active and alive. And right. So, you know, and so when you think about it, learning is lifelong. And we all need to be lifelong learners. And so whether I'm in year two or whether I'm in year 28 as an athletic administrator, there's so much out there that's changing in our global society and changing in everything that we do that I need to stay abreast of what's going on within my profession.
Yeah. And I'm curious. So you said you want to keep knowing what's going on and keep up to beat with everything. What does a school do, or is it individual based to get in touch with your organization to get those certifications?
Well, and that's great. First of all, anyone can join us individually. We have 30 states that have what's called dual membership, meaning you pay one fee and that makes you a member of your state association and also the national association. Then the rest of our states are either modified dual or else they're single, meaning that, you know, if the member chooses to join, then they join. We're constantly on social media, just as you all are, and getting the message out to our members. We are constantly trying to promote that message within our states. We work diligently to get that message out, but an individual can call our office at any time. And we will talk to them. If we need to refer them to leadership within their state, then we will do that and share with them what's going on within their state. Because when you look at the building block needs to start within their state, and it could be a conference, or it could be a league, or it could be whatever, and then it goes on to their state, to where they meet together as a state. And I can tell you right now, we have some states that hold state conferences that are just absolutely fabulous. And from a state perspective, you know, you can go there as a high school athletic administrator or a middle school athletic administrator, and you can get some knowledge, and you can get NIAAA leadership curriculum courses, and you can get workshops, and you can get updates and information there that will assist you within your state. We are the global, we are the international perspective. We offer that domestic view to where you can get it, and you get it from the best of the best. And so when you look at that and you look at that development of how we're aligned, we work with our states. But at the end of the day, we're right at 12,600 members. Our goal is according to the National Federation High Schools, there's about 19,000 plus high schools out there. That's our goal. We want to reach each and every high school athletic administrator and understand we have states that are topping out over 100% of their membership, and we have some other states that we need to work to continue to promote the message that we're trying to get out there.
That's awesome. And I'm thinking back back to the origin story of yours at the beginning here, Phil, you being the associate executive director right now, and going back through all the different positions you've held in the different areas of the country too. I mean, aside from this year, I'm kind of curious, what has changed the most that you've seen in the high school or middle school kind of thing throughout your career?
Well, I think number one, technology has definitely advanced primarily our delivery of messages. Whether those messages are positive or negative sometimes depends upon the sender and the receiver and how they're sent and received. I think that's one of the things that's changed. And, you know, I can remember as an early coach, I can remember as a player, you know, primarily if my coach said something, it was never challenged. It was never, you know, you never second guessed that. And now you have programs that are what you would classify competition programs that are designed to promote the student for potential scholarship opportunities or whatever. And then you have education-based athletics. And education-based athletics, primarily our goal is to we want to compete. We want our student athletes to compete at a high level, but we also want them to be broad-based in the fact of knowing how to work with each other, how to develop the team concept, how to develop a citizenship approach, how to develop a sportsmanship approach, how to be broad-based in the coverage of education-based athletics. I think when you look at that and you look at the change that has evolved, that change has been overwhelmingly positive in the sense, but we still, in certain areas of the country, we still are not meeting the needs of maybe our student athletes in that whole educational concept. At the end of the day, and I'll quote Tony Dungy. I don't mind saying it. He's our speaker, but Tony has a quote in one of his books. It says, if it's just about winning and losing, I don't want to be a part of that. It has to be more than just winning and losing. And I've often promoted the fact that I am a product of education-based athletics. I never won a championship. I never put on a championship ring. I never was in that capacity. But I can tell you this, the skills that I learned from being a part of teams and having to work with my teammates, my coaches, having to develop goals and try to reach to obtain those goals has assisted and prepared me for my future life. And in the end, that's our goal. So when you look at that change that is taking place, you know, we watch things on TV and we see that. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not. As education-based proponents, we have to be the ones that make sure that the message we're delivering is a message that's consistent with the whole development of our student athletes.
And I'm thinking something kind of made me think of it listening to you too, Phil, was the educational aspect of it too. I would say from Dactronics' perspective, especially in high schools recently over the last, I don't know, maybe 5 years, it's dipped more into that education side where, mm-hmm. I mean, you would still know how to run, you know, scoreboards and different things like that. But when we talk to high school athletic directors or coaches, they always say when there's a video board or something there's a whole educational aspect now of how do you run that video board? How do you work with people on sponsorships? And then how do you carry that over into maybe a professional career as you go through college?
Great point. And that analogy is so correct. And I used to think about the fact I used to tell people, if you can be a high school athletic director, understand there's not anything in the educational component you can't do. Most of our athletic administrators are educators first, mm-hmm. meaning they've chosen a field of study. And whether that's in the sciences or the math or the English or whatever it may be, I'm a business education major. So, you know, I always used to say I'm an ASDF JKL semicolon guy. Okay. You know, I was used to teaching back then. We called it typing. Nowadays it's referred to as keyboarding.
Yep. Uh-huh.
But when you think about that, but when I think about the things as an athletic administrator that I had to do early, in my career. I had to work with transportation. I had to work with community members within the community. I had to work with booster groups through parent associations in order to promote our athletics programs and to make sure we were getting things that we needed in order to move our programs forward. When you look at all those components, that's just a small component, but if you can work with all of those components, it prepares you to be able to do anything within the educational field. And so our athletic administrators are some of the most broad-based individuals within the educational field of their institutions.
Wow, that's a lot of great information there, Phil. And thank you for coming on and sharing all that information, especially what the NIAAA does and all the things about the conference coming up and sharing your stories and your history. So thank you very much for joining us.
Well, it's been great, and I appreciate the time and the opportunity. And I'm very passionate, and I speak on behalf of our staff. We're very passionate, and our board. We get to work with our NIAAA board of directors, which is representation of our 8 sections that we have within the country. But very passionate about what we do, what we believe in, and what we're delivering. And we think it's the right thing. We're going to always have individuals that maybe see it in a different light. But at the end of the day, our ultimate goal is to prepare our student athletes to be the best individuals that they can be in this game of life.
So your passion has definitely come across in talking with you today, Phil. So thank you very much for talking with us.
Appreciate the time, and you guys continue to stay safe, and appreciate the support that Daktronics continues to offer the NIAAA.
Of course, yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Daktronics Experience Podcast. Please subscribe at your favorite place to listen to podcasts to keep up with our latest episodes.